Hey, welcome back to 7 Minute Books. I'm Sam. Today we're talking about Managing the Unexpected by Carl Weick and Kathleen Sutcliffe. Sophie, I have to say, this book kind of flipped my thinking on what makes a good organization.
Hey there, Sam. Yeah, it's one of those books that feels like it was written for right now. The core idea is that most organizations are terrible at handling surprises because they're designed to be efficient and predictable. And the author studied these high-reliability organizations, HROs, like nuclear aircraft carriers and wildfire crews, that somehow avoid disaster despite huge risks.
Right. And what struck me is that the problem isn't the unexpected event itself. It's that we build systems that actually make us blind to it. The authors call it threat rigidity. When things are going well, we get complacent and stop paying attention to small signals.
Exactly. Success breeds overconfidence. You start assuming that because nothing bad happened yesterday, nothing bad will happen today. And then you filter out information that doesn't fit your nice, tidy story. So the unexpected doesn't just appear out of nowhere, it's systematically produced by our own inattention.
There's this great example from the book about a near miss on an aircraft carrier. A pilot lands slightly off center, and everyone breathes a sigh of relief because it's a safe landing. But in an HRO, that's not the end of the story. They'd analyze every detail. Was it wind, fatigue, and a mechanical issue? They treat every glitch as a symptom of a potential weakness.
That's their first principle, preoccupation with failure. And it's not about being pessimistic. It's about being intensely curious about anything that deviates from the norm. They know that small mistakes, left unexamined, can combine into a catastrophe.
The second principle is a reluctance to simplify interpretations. Most organizations want clear, simple answers, but HROs actively seek out complexity. When something goes wrong, they don't just ask the senior expert. They gather perspectives from all over the organization, from the mechanic to the pilot to the air traffic controller.
Because the mechanic sees the world differently than the pilot, and both see it differently than the controller. By refusing to simplify, you get a richer picture of reality. You're more likely to spot the subtle connections that a simplified view would miss.
Then there's sensitivity to operations. This one really got me. It's about leaders staying connected to the actual work on the front lines. Not micromanaging, but listening and observing. A firefighting crew, for example, doesn't just look at a map. They smell the air, feel the wind, watch the flames. That intuitive awareness is their early warning system.
And the fourth principle is a commitment to resilience. Because no matter how mindful you are, the unexpected will happen. The difference is that HROs have the capacity to absorb the shock and bounce back. They invest in training, build strong relationships, and this is key, they build slack into the system.
Slack. That's such a hard sell in an efficiency-obsessed world. Having extra resources, extra time, extra people looks like waste. But in an HRO, it's insurance. It's what stops one mistake from bringing the whole system down.
And the final principle is deference to expertise. In a crisis, you don't look to the highest rank, you look to the person with the most relevant knowledge, even if that's a junior technician. On a submarine, the most junior officer can order a crash dive, and the captain follows that order. It requires real humility from leaders.
That's the part that challenges me the most. As a leader, you have to be willing to admit you don't have all the answers, and you have to create psychological safety so people feel comfortable speaking up. The authors call this building a culture of mindfulness.
Mindfulness here isn't just about paying attention. It's about constantly questioning your assumptions and updating your understanding in real time. It's the opposite of the automatic, habitual thinking that leads to complacency.
So what's the first step for a regular organization that wants to start thinking this way? The book suggests auditing the unexpected, running regular what-if scenarios. What if a key supplier fails? What if a small error in one department cascades? You uncover the assumptions you're making and prepare for the things you're ignoring.
And you need requisite variety on your team. That means enough diversity of experience and perspective to match the complexity of the world you operate in. If everyone thinks the same, you'll be blind to a lot.
The single thing I'm taking away is that success can be dangerous. The more smoothly things run, the more likely we are to stop looking for cracks. I need to start treating near misses and small errors as gifts, data points that help me see the system's vulnerabilities.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper into these ideas, the whole library's over on 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. Managing the unexpected is ultimately a call to humility, to stop trying to predict the future and start building the capacity to handle whatever comes. We'll see you in the next one.